chapter 6. And what I was thinking about this morning was, you know, we've already moved into the new beginning. But I don't want to get too far into it in a manner that we forget what we've just been through with breakthroughs. And what I want to share today is more along the line of how to maintain those breakthroughs, okay? And last week I shared on a new beginning, what was it? David's Mighty Men Reunion. Soon I will be sharing on other new beginning subjects. But as your pastor, it's important that I remind you, because you never really leave anything. It's all built into you. That's the way it's supposed to be. You know, you might have a new focus at the moment, but it doesn't mean you don't maintain the things that God's been doing, and that's what you want. You want to be built up in Him, and that's what the Scriptures say. And so I just want to address some of these things. Now, the first part of my sharing for some of you is going to, well, I guess last week when I shared, the first part sounded like I was going to repeat, and I didn't. This one is, the first part is common knowledge, but the Lord gave me a wonderful example that I think will help us to incorporate spiritual reality, that will help us to realize that spiritual reality isn't always just floaty. It has an effect in our life. And if it doesn't, then it's not spiritual reality. It's ethereal blah, you know. So in Romans chapter 6 and verse 6, excuse me, knowing this, all right, so you can't really read this without realizing that God assumes that we already know this, but don't know it. Notice the ing. We're still knowing it. It wasn't something we learned, and then that's it. We're still knowing this truth. Knowing this, that our old man, or our old nature, is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed. See, he that is dead is freed. Well, from sin, but he that is dead is free. All right. And here it's not talking about, obviously, from the context in the verse before, it's not talking about being physically dead. You know, well, if I die, I'm free. I'm free from this world. You know, yeah, okay, if you go to the right place afterwards. But anyway, But the death is talking about here is verse 6. Knowing, always knowing this, that our old nature is crucified. Amen? All right. So, Adam, we call that nature, the nature of Adam. We call it the old man. We call it the old nature. But it was the king that ruled over us, that ruled in us. And when I say over us, over it, it, the old nature ruled over our reactions, our attitudes, how we handled things, how we initiated things. Okay. So it was a king. It was a king in us. And you know this, but it's just a fact. The kingdom of God is about another king coming in. Yes. It's Jesus. It's Christ's life within us. It's his nature. It's his spirit. It's him. And so you could say this, there is no kingdom without a kingdom ruling. And I'll just say it right like this. Then we're not functioning in the kingdom if Jesus isn't ruling, if our old nature is ruling. Can I get amen? Amen. I mean, we're talking about the kingdom. You know, and so many people, they spiritualize the kingdom. Oh, the kingdom is this, the kingdom is that, and the kingdom is whatever. The kingdom is the king ruling, and the king is Jesus, and we're what he rules over. And we should be saying glory to God. Amen. Except we know how we've been living. But today, we're going to get a new beginning. Amen. So that king was put away by Christ on the cross. Okay, we know that, right? Let's turn to Ephesians now. Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4 and verse 22. That you put off concerning the former manner of life. That's the way it's translated in my Bible. That you put off the former manner of life. Wow. That's pretty pointed. That you put off the former manner of life, the old man, or the old king, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust. In other words, all that he desires, because the word lust there really isn't like I'm a pervert. The word is just desires that come from the nature of the old man. Okay. And they're deceitful because the old nature is, I'm going to just tell you this, it's tricky. And we'll see that as we get into our lesson. It's tricky. He's deceitful because he doesn't always come and go, hey, let's just go sin, or let's go, you know, do some, you know, wild partying and then ask forgiveness in the morning, you know. No, he comes across sometimes as godly or even tries to come across as Jesus sometimes in you. You know, he'll suggest something and he'll say, and this is Jesus talking to you. And it's not, okay? All right, but it goes on. That you put off concerning the former manner of life, the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of mind. And then verse 25 is talking about the manner of life of the old nature, the old man. Wherefore, putting away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another, be ye angry and sin not. Let not your sin go down upon your wrath. Yeah. I'm sure y'all are doing this, really. I mean, you know, you might get angry, but you don't sin. No murdering. Just a reminder, no murdering. And then when you get upset, you go, you know what? The Word of God says, don't let the sun go down on my wrath, so I refuse to go to bed angry. Can I get a praise God? Can I get a, I'm doing that. Amen. Amen. Because why? Because the Word of God says so. But isn't it interesting that the truth is, and we'll see this in another place, isn't it interesting that the truth is you don't put off all of those things. You put off the old man who does those things. Okay? Some people don't have that approach. They're just trying to defeat things and reactions and this and that. And good luck with that. Because you're just attacking the fruit. You're pulling the bad fruit off the tree. And when you do that, it comes back more than was before. Right? So don't do that. As your pastor, I'm asking you. Don't do that because you're just causing yourself more problems. Okay. You have to go to the root of the problem. You have to go to the heart of the problem. You have to deal with this according to the cross. But not just that, but you have to apply the cross. Because remember our first verse said, Jesus dealt with the old man, didn't he? Thank God. But see, we can go, yay, Jesus dealt with the old man. And then have all this old nature stuff coming out of us and going, well, what about this? Well, guess what? This is telling you that you are supposed to, in conjunction with your knowing this, you're supposed to put off those things. Okay? And it says it plainly right here, and we'll see it in another scripture before we move on, that there is this thing in you where, number one, the Word of God is supposed to be a big deal. And the cross is supposed to be a big deal. A big deal. Okay. So, and this all relates to which kingdom we're functioning in. You know, you can forget any spiritual concept, conceptualizing of, oh, well, I'm just in the kingdom. No, you're not. Not if that old nature is ruling. There's some, you're functioning underneath another king, and therefore there's no need to say, well, I'm in the kingdom. Are you saved? Yeah, you're saved. Barely. But I'm joking. You're secure, okay? Anybody on Skype, you're secure. Cassie, you're secure. Okay. But there is that reality. The king, you know, there's a difference between salvation and the kingdom. You know, through much tribulation you must enter the kingdom, it says. Doesn't it say that? Doesn't it say that? Oh, no, once you're saved, everything's going to be wonderful. How many of you, that's your experience? Once you got saved, there was never a problem again. Okay, that's clear. Again, as your pastor. All right, well, so I want to just show one more example of this before we move into the main part of what I want to share, and that's over in Colossians chapter 3. And I've shared on this many times, but... But I'm going to share on these scriptures again, but just lightly. Colossians 3:3. For ye are dead. Amen. What? Amen. For ye are dead. Is that the Lord talking to you?
Yes.
Is that the Word of God?
Yes.
Do you want to obey the Word of God? Do you believe in the work of the cross? Because you're not just dead. You're dead in sins, but then you died at the cross so that you're no longer dead in sins. Does that make sense?
Yes.
There's two deaths I just spoke of. Being dead in your sins and being dead at the cross. The way God remedied you from suffering the consequences of your sins and being dead in your sins, not just your sins, but being dead, was he put you to death. But with him at the cross, so that, what? So that you and I would be raised up and made to sit together in him in heavenly places. Okay, so a lot of that right there, theology, could be theology. It's not to me. It is life. But we have to go to verse 5. The first word there in my Bible is mortify. But in the original Greek and in many of your Bibles, it may be translated put to death. Mortify, put to death. Okay, here we go. Therefore, put to death, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. For these things, the sake, the wrath of God cometh on the sons of disobedience. Okay, so you are in the family. Your sons are children of disobedience. You're in the family. You're just disobedient.
Right.
Disobedient. Okay, here's where we mess up. You want to hear where we mess up? You say, I don't know where I'm messing. No, not really. You are disobedient not to the fact that you're doing these things and God doesn't want these things. You're disobedient to the cross. Because the cross put the nature that does those things away, therefore mortify them. In other words, you're dead, then put them to death. In other words, declare to them, as it were, walk in the light as he is in the light. Don't walk in the light as you are in the light. Scripture doesn't say that. Walk in the light as he is in the light. In other words, find yourself in him instead of in you and in your failures and in your old nature and all of this. There's a resurrection that happened. Did you know that? That's good news. We're one with Jesus, but who wants to, you know, I mean, I appreciate the responses, but I tell you what, this is so much greater than just being happy about it. This is God's own truth, based on his own word, based on what Jesus did at the cross, and nothing else. There's no, you can't fast away the old nature. Fasting is good. You know, for the scripture, you know, scripture said, what is it? I was thinking about it just the other day. he was talking about pray that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened. Okay, so, you know, pray. But you have to pray that your eyes would be enlightened, and only God can do that. Okay? And the enlightenment isn't how to defeat the individual sins in your life. The answer is Christ crucified, Christ risen. All right, now we're going to get into the fun part. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Samuel, chapter 15. Most of you know this story. I'm going to take a little different twist on it today, this morning. And I'll just tell you up front, what I hope to gain out of this today is a new, I'm going to say it like this, a new catchphrase has to come from the Lord, but a new catchphrase that becomes a regular way that you speak to yourself and to others. Okay, it's really important. It's really important. It could actually begin to turn things. In other words, maybe God's done the breakthroughs for you, but on the other hand, maybe he's still wanting you to maintain that. And this will not just say, oh, I had a bunch of breakthroughs, and you go on, and then you find them creeping back. You know? Anybody know what I'm talking about? They're creepy. They'll creep back on you. Well, they are creepy too, all by themselves. But anyway, this will genuinely help. You say, well, how do you know that, Brother Randy? I know that because the Lord spoke to me to share this, and I believe in the Lord, and I believe in what he showed me in this word. Anyway, okay. So in 1 Samuel 15, the first part, the first three verses are Samuel's instruction to Saul. Okay, so Samuel is the prophet, but he's also a priest, and really he functions a lot as a king because he's over the king. He's really a picture of Christ. And he's talking to Saul, who really shouldn't be king, okay? He shouldn't be king. David should be king. God's chosen. Christ in you should be king. Amen? All right, so verse 1. Samuel also said unto Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee as king over this his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou to the voice of the words of the Lord. Did you hear that? He didn't just say, oh, just walk in the Spirit. Don't think about the word of God. Don't try to, you know, see if your life is lined up according to that. Hearken unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that when Amalek did what Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, oxen and ass, camel and ass. So what is he saying? He's saying that when they came up out of Egypt, there was this tribe of people called Amalek, and they weren't like the Moabites or many of the other nations they came against. These guys never came straight at them and said, let's fight. No, we're strong and you're strong. Let's have a battle. No, what they did was, as Israel was making their way through the wilderness, and it talks about this in certain other places, that the weak and the women that were pregnant, the women that were with child, and the little children and the sickly, they began to sort of fall slowly behind the crowd. And the stronger ones were keeping up a good pace, but they were starting to fall behind. And Amalek came and killed them all off. Now, that's the opposite of Jesus. You know. Came, killed the pregnant women, the little children, the sickly, and all of that. And so God says, you know, the time has come. I want them out of your life. Okay? Right? So let's hope that Saul obeys God. You know? Okay. All right. So, let's see. Let's go down to verse, let's do 7, 8, and 9. And Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah until thou comest to Shur, that is over against Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and of the oxen and of the fatlings and the lambs and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuse, that they destroyed utterly. Okay, so this is how some people obey the word of God. This is how some people obey the word of God. All right? And this is his actions that he carries out. In Saul's mind, you know, I've never seen a bigger departure from any sharing as they slowly disappeared. You know, yeah, they don't, you know, wait till you get to the end. Y'all better start thinking about your departure early, okay? In Saul's mind, he really thought he was doing the right thing. He thought he was obeying the word of the Lord. He really did. He thought that. Okay. Does it really matter what we think ultimately? No, it matters what God, the God's view of this is all that really matters. Okay? All right. So what are we talking about so far? We're talking about comprehending Romans 6. We're talking about comprehending Ephesians 4. We're talking about lining up with Colossians 3. We're talking about us. We're talking about perceiving correctly what the Word is telling us and not us assuming we understand that and just doing the best we can, working hard to get rid of the junk. Come on, can I get amen?
Amen.
I think we're already moving into the, can I get an oh me? You know, we're already getting there. All right, so let's drop down to verse 13. And what we're going to do is, in starting at verse 13, we're going to see a contrast of some people's view of obeying and someone else's. We're going to see a contrast of Saul's version and Samuel's version. Okay? Does it make any difference which version you have?
Yes.
Oh my God, yes. Makes a huge difference. All right. So, what is this saying? Okay. We're not talking about law or any of this kind of stuff. We're saying, at this stage, we're saying our hearts, not just our heads, not just what comes by cruise control, not just what based on what we already know, but knowing. Well, I already know the old man's dead. Are you knowing it? Well, not really. I figure all that I learned when I was in Bible school or whatever, that was so good and I got it all down. Okay, Saul. We're talking to Saul then, but rather that our hearts never cease to listen carefully, not just to the words of the Scripture, but to the word of the Lord, and not just listen to the words, but the heart from which they come. And to say, you know, let me just say this. People mocked the disciples at the Last Supper when Jesus is sitting there and they've eaten. And he says, one of you will betray me. And a bunch of them are going, is it I? Is it I? And they go, oh, you dummies. It's that guy over there. It's Judas. You know, why are y'all saying that? You ought to know it ain't you. Well, they're just wanting to be right with the Lord. They're wanting to be open and say, you know what? I don't know everything. I don't know everything. Hopefully I'm knowing some things, but I don't want to know something. See, my quest isn't this. I want to know everything. You know? So I learned that, and I put that off over here, and I learned something else, and I put that off over there, and I learned this, and I put that off over there, and I learned something else, and I put it off, and I have, you know, you start going, I'm going to have to build me a big storehouse. I got a lot of stuff over here. But have you ever noticed how when we do that, here's what happens. All of a sudden, we run across something we learned a long time ago. Somebody preaches it or something, and we go, hey, I studied that one time. Now, how did that go? What was the truth of that? I don't know. Let me, you know, go get the lock, open up the storehouse, start digging around. Oh, golly, a lot of stuff in here, moving stuff, throwing it out. Where is that? I can't even find it. Anybody know what I'm talking about? So we're not knowing it. We knew it and we stored it and, you know, and we think. We think that our goal is to learn. It's like, okay, we've got this storehouse, and it seems like we got a lot, but we look over here, all that God has, and we look and we go, you know, oh my God, there's still a lot more. And we think that the goal is for us to become omniscient. That means all-knowing, that we need to know all of that and all of this, and once we do, we'll be what God wants. We'll be omniscient. No, God isn't trying to make you omniscient. He's omniscient.
Amen.
He don't need you up there, you know, being a know-it-all, because that's our verse. If he's omniscient, meaning he knows everything, then he has a spirit behind it. If we know everything, we're a know-it-all. And we want to tell everybody else, see. But rather, it's not about knowing everything. It's about knowing the Lord. And it's about staying plugged into him as a member, as a member of his body. Therefore, we have access to all that he has access, because we're plugged into Jesus, and Jesus flows through us. And Jesus touches lives, and Jesus calls to remembrance, and Jesus, and on and on and on. So that the goal is Jesus, not some sort of a attainment on our part. And a union. But a relationship of the heart that is saying, Jesus, you're it to me, not all this other stuff. Alright? Alright, I'm still continuing here on comparing these two views. We read 13 through 15. Let's read also 19 through 20. This is Samuel. Well, actually, we didn't read 13, did we? Let's read 13. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. There it is. I did what God told me to do. All right. Okay, here's the deal. No, you didn't. No, I did. I know I did. No, you didn't. No, I did. I'm sure of it. Because I'm special. I have a heart after God. Well, sort of, maybe. Maybe at your best moments. But it has to be, he has my heart, and I have a new heart. It has to be that. All right, and so I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Verse 14, and Samuel said, okay, if you have, what meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in my ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? He said, go wipe out Amalek, every stitch of this horrid thing that is horrid to me. Not just for what it did to you, but for the way that it is. It's not even courageous to fight head on. It sneaks up and hits you when you're at your weakest. You know Amalek, don't you? Anybody?
Yeah.
At your weakest? Man, Amalek's yucky, but we're not pure enough to understand how yucky Amalek is, but God is. So we have to plug into his, when he says this, we have to go, oh my God, he really wants this done with. Instead of, oh well, you know, there's some good here. There's some good. Not in God's eyes. There's none in that that is good. Okay, so verse 15, and Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. All right, so here it is. Our wrong concepts will take something that is not Christ and try to offer it to the Lord. We will take something, we'll take our money or our this. I mean, if it doesn't come through the Spirit of Christ. In other words, you know, and some of you know, like Life in the Spirit Ministries, and Deb and I survive on that. But every year, and by the way, it's getting close to renewal time. Every year I cancel everybody that supports Life in the Spirit. I cancel them. I tell them, that's it. Don't send any more money. No more. You pray. Every one of you pray and find out if God wants you to continue to support this ministry. Why do I do that? Because people will get in the habit and they'll just do it for the rest of their life. And none of it will be Jesus. And it's not blessing them. You know, you go, well, at least you're getting money. Hey, don't say anything and they'll keep supporting you and you'll get extra money. I don't want extra money. I want what's Jesus. And if it's that much, I'm content with that. And we'll find a way. But my God, if we don't plug into the Spirit of Christ, then what are we doing? We're just religious people doing religious things and offering it to the Lord and saying, oh, take this. I say, I won't take it. You pray and find out if the Lord wants you to do that. You know, that's what's important to me, because that's what's important to the Father, that he gets his Son in sacrifice, not anything else. So, drop down to verse 19. Why then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoils and did evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and have gone the way which the Lord sent me. Do you see this? I mean, folks, I don't think he's trying to be stubborn. I think he thinks that he really did do what God wanted. You know? All right. So if Agag is the king, amen? If Agag is this king that keeps wreaking havoc on Israel and has continued to do so, because they've been back now for a while out of the wilderness from Egypt, has continued to do so, God has had enough. And we need to see that God has had enough. We can't go, well, I'll just wait till God brings me to a place where I've had enough. He's not going to bring you to that place. He's going to bring you to a place where he says, I've had enough. We're going to deal with this and we're going to deal with it now. Now obey my voice. Okay. Then what is he saying in reality to us? He's saying, look, everything that passed through the Red Sea and through the Jordan, everything behind it is dead. They're dead. Let's put them to death. Across the Jordan, man, that was the cross. And yet they keep sneaking over the border, hitting you when you're down, when you're weak, and when you're hurting. And then we go, you know, well, what can I do? What can I do? They're too strong. You know, I'm too weak. Well, I tell you what you can do. You can just obey the voice of the Lord and let's go in this thing. All right. Let's go to verse 22. So in beginning in verse 22, what we're going to do is we're going to see a connection between being under Jesus as king and what relation that reality has to us being in the kingdom. Everybody hear that? We're going to look at God's view, God's understanding. You can say the way it is, if it's God's view and his understanding. We're going to look at the way it is. And anything fighting against that needs to just line up with the Lord, okay? And we're going to show you how to do that, okay? We're not, this isn't going to end in condemnation, all right? Unless you keep looking at me like that. All right, so beginning in verse 22, and we'll read 22 and 23 first. And Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." Okay, what is this talking about? This isn't talking about the sacrifice of the cross in the sense of taking this and offering this up as if it was Jesus and to make God happy. He's not going to be happy with anything from Amalek. He's talking about in a situation where you're going to take your stuff and call it sacrifice and burnt offering, he's saying, I'd rather you just obey me. The sacrifice I wanted was these things dead, not you giving them as if that's what pleases me. Does that make sense? I mean, it's really important to see that, because if we don't, then we'll go, well, I guess God really never liked any sacrifices or anything. That's dumb. That's not clearly not the case. But those sacrifices are supposed to represent Christ, and these would not have. And we need to see the difference between us being sacrificial. Let me just make this clear. I'm going to take a drink before I say it. That's called a pause. God does not want you to live sacrificially. He doesn't. He wants Christ living in you. A big difference there. Huge difference. You know, Buddhists live sacrificially. Well, they you know, keep their flesh under, and they don't do this and that, and they're, you know, and I'm sure that the Lord is pleased with that. No, there's no sweet savor of Christ. It's just them living sacrificially. Well, I'm not knocking Buddhists. I'd say a huge portion of Christianity does the exact same thing. They're Buddhist in the way that they're, you understand what I'm saying? And you wonder why people don't like me. But I say stuff like this. I do. And I admit it, and I deserve to die. Kill me. You know? Let me be with Jesus then. To depart is far better. But, you know, frankly, it's absolutely the truth. If we're not living by Christ, and if we're not, if the sacrifices and everything that we do isn't coming up from that sweet savor that God's getting from it, because think about it. The Lord, in those sacrifices and those sweet savor offerings and everything, when they killed the thing and then God smelled the sweet savor, anybody remember that? That God would smell the sweet savor, and then the New Testament said it was the sweet savor of Christ. Interestingly enough, it wasn't just the dying, it wasn't just the sacrificing, it was the fact that it was done in this sweet savor. It was Christ. Do you see what I mean? In other words, if it wasn't Christ, there would be no sweet savor. And you're just a Christian Buddhist. Yeah, this is it. It's over. Bye. No, this isn't it. There's still good news coming, okay? But you know me, I'm going to drag you through the cross before it's over. But it's the truth, people. I mean, if to do anything else leaves Jesus out of it, and the Father wants his Son. Why, you know, why didn't Jesus just die, save us all, rise, sit down, and that it? No, no, he came into each and every one of us. Right? Why? What's the point of that? Just, you know, we're saved. You know, just make us save. You just save people. Now just do save stuff. Right? I mean, that's the, you know, people don't like me because I identify sometimes mentalities that are not Christ, but we think it is, just like Saul. I did obey the voice of the Lord. I'm really going after God, but no, Samuel, you got to say all this stuff. I can't wait to get up there and talk to Samuel. You remember that? Yeah, well, I had one of those too. Anyway, sorry. All right. And verse 20. And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and have gone the way which the Lord sent me and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. How can you say that? You didn't utterly destroy if you brought this guy and he's still there. No, no, I did. I'm sure it's right. What? You know, we say, well, thank God we don't do that. Some of you do regularly. You walk in with Agag in you. And you stand up and you testify that you're crucified with Christ. Agag going, yeah, say this too. Yeah. Hello? Still glad you came?
Amen.
All right. Verse 26. And Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel. And then verse 28, and Samuel said unto him, the Lord hath torn the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, and hath given it to a neighbor of thine who is better than thou. All right, well, let's understand what's going on here. We could look at Samuel and say, you know, Jesus is gentle. You know, precious Jesus, gentle one. and go, well, Samuel, that's not Jesus in you. You know, how can you be that way? He's not being any way. He is literally just telling him the facts, okay? If you're not going to be under the king, then you're not functioning in the kingdom. And the kingdom isn't, I didn't take the kingdom away from you. You took it away. Come on, come on.
That's right.
Did some of you miss that? You want me to say it again? It's an important point. Samuel didn't do anything. He just identified the way of the Lord and said, you know, if you're going to be under Agag, you're going to let him live, and you're not going to obey the word of the Lord in relationship to the cross that put everything to death, you're not going to be under the word of the King, Jesus, then you're not in the kingdom. Simple as that. He's not saying, and God will take it away from you in that sense. It's not God taking away from you. In truth, you left the kingdom of being under him and saying, yeah, I'll obey your word. Let's go do this. Let's kill the bad, the good, everything that's not Jesus. Let's wipe it out with the cross. Well, that's obeying the voice of the Lord. Can I get amen on that one? That one is. Joan, I need your help. I needed an amen on that one. Can you give me?
Amen.
Yeah, that's it. I needed it at that point. So
I'm writing it down.
I saw you. I'd like to look at her notes a bit. She's and the Lord said da 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 da. Amen. All right. So if nothing else, I mean, up to this point, we need to realize that when it comes to the kingdom of God, not salvation, when it comes to the kingdom of God, it's not just about being saved. It's about obeying the king's word. And listen carefully, the king's word, what I'm not saying here is you just need to obey the scripture. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying his word to you is everything but his son is crucified. And he's the one who came, rose from the dead. And if you're there at all, you're there in him as a member of him because only he came forth. You raised up, made to sit together with him. But don't be a parasite on the resurrection. On the resurrection body. I'm not a member. I'm not under him. I'm not taking his counsel. Especially that cross stuff. I'm not going to take that. So I want what the body has. So I'm going to attach to it and suck everything I can out of it. But I do not intend on being part of it. Okay, Saul, do whatever you want. You know what I mean? But all right. So Samuel is not just a talker. Okay? Samuel's not just a talker. Samuel really believed that this word was from God. Remember, he was the one who said, the Lord said this, I remember. Remember that? He says, the Lord said this, I remember when you came out of Egypt and what Amalek did to you. And you ought to go back and read all this stuff and it'll break your heart. Or just look at your lives for a while. And it'll break your heart that this stuff is still able to have its sway and its way in light of the cross. But as long as we're just saying, well, I'm dead, and then don't have any, I'm just going to say it right now, oomph, and I hope to give you some oomph. Okay, hope to give you some more. All right. So, Samuel, demonstrate to us what you're talking about. All right, let's look at verse 32. Then said Samuel, bring ye here to me Agag, the king of the Amalekites. And Agag came unto him cheerfully. That's my version. Okay? And Agag said, surely the bitterness of death is past. All right, there it is. Do you not see it? You leave this sucker alive, and he's going to be real sweet. He's going to say, oh, you know, I'm not as bad as Randy says. That cross stuff is really not necessary. Let's just worship God. Come on, let's be cheerful. You know, all that cross stuff, Randy bums us out so much all the time. Can't we just be cheerful? Saith Agag. And we go, oh, you know, he's in there inside of us, you know. Oh, you know, and he talks like a king. Maybe that's Jesus saying this to me. I wonder, this is probably Jesus. No, it's not. It's the guy you left alive. It's the guy you rejected the cross so that he could stay alive. You thought you were trying to keep you alive. Guess what? You got a partner in this. You got somebody who hitchhiked. You got somebody who jumped on the back of your bus and is still with you. Because you didn't want that cross. Oh, not that cross. No, not that stuff. No, we just should be happy. You can be happy on the other side of the cross. Yes. In Christ. Yes. But don't try to drag Agag in Christ. Because that really, I'm going to say it like this. That hacks the Lord off. All right. So let's read on. Let's read 32 again. Then said Samuel, bring ye here to me Agag, the king of the Amalekites. And Agag came unto him cheerfully. And Agag said, surely the bitterness of death is past. And Samuel said, as thy sword hath made women childless, so shall thy mother be childless among women. And Samuel hewed Agag in pieces before the Lord. Oh, man. Agag, king of a foreign power, foreign to God, foreign to the kingdom of God, foreign, totally foreign. He represents that old nature. He represents, but not just that old nature, all the fruit that came from it that we read, remember? He represents all of that. And when they came into the land, God gave them the land, didn't they? Even before they got in there, God said, I've given you the land. Now go possess it.
Yes.
You know, I mean, some of us go, well, have you given it to us or are we supposed to possess it? What's the deal? I'm confused here. I thought we had it. I walked in the land, somebody threw a spear at me. What's going on? You know? The land is yours. Everywhere you put your foot, you got it. In other words, walk with me in what I have said to you, and the enemies will fall, but you have to take that sword and apply it in this situation. The other day I was going through a problem, and I sat there in my own world. You know what I'm talking about? My own world. You know, because it becomes a little world. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It becomes this little world, and you're just in it, like, oh, all this is going on. It's like surround sound, but nobody else can hear it. And I was having my thoughts, you know, Agag's, my thoughts, things like, you know, self-pity and anger. It's funny how you can have self-pity and anger at the same time. I've never really understood that, but I know that that can happen, okay? And confusion and resentment and critical spirit and stubbornness. Does any of these sound familiar to anybody? You know, so you know the world I'm talking about? Could that be the case, that you actually know this world? Yeah, anyway, it was just like, I mean, it's so weird because it's like, you know, I can be sitting in the midst of people and it's like it's about, anybody ever seen the show on TV called The Dome? Anyway, it's like this dome came down. Well, it's like this dome comes over us, and whatever's happening in there, that's the real world at the moment. And everything else is not. And I was sitting there, and this whole world was going on and in my head. And it was taking over my emotions, and it was affecting my attitudes, and it was pushing me to respond. In other words, let me make a distinction here. One is that world. The other one is when it pushes you to do stuff outside of that world. Are you with me? React, do something, manifest. How about that? And, you know, I was just really going through it. And all of a sudden, the Lord spoke to me. And I just wanted to share it with you. He spoke to me and he said, hew Agag to pieces.
Yes. Yeah,
hew Agag to pieces. And I had a choice. I could respond like Saul, right? I mean, I can do that because you have a right. He gave us free will to be able to do the will of God, or the follow the word of the Lord, or to say we followed the word of the Lord. We can do it Saul's way, and that's to keep Agag alive but at least somewhat in subjection. You know? Or we can obey the word of the Lord and we can take him to the cross. And there, here's the important one. Meaning hew him in pieces with the cross of the reality of what we already do have. And we can end that whole thing right then and there. See, I used to believe that when I go through all of that kind of stuff, well, it had to last for days or weeks or whatever till it ran its course, like a fever or something, you know. Well, I mean, I did. I'm just telling you, you know. Well, I feel this way, and, you know. And I tell you another thing. Sometimes when I'm in that world, it is an affront to me when somebody sticks their head in that little thing and says, hew Agag to pieces. Yes. But that's what needs to be done.
That's right.
That's what needs to be done.
That's right.
And it would just, you know, it would just go on. It's like it's like I would let Agag continue to live. I was doing the same thing Saul was. I would let him live. I'd go, well, this has to run its course, and so I'm going to give you 2 more weeks or something stupid. Like that, I'm going to lengthen your life in me. Oh my God, do we want to do that? Do we not see how serious this is and that that's the actual real thing that we're talking about, not just a story that happened in the Bible in relationship to this? We claim that we're in the kingdom of God. But in the truth of the matter, when we're there, we're not in the kingdom of God. You could say, as it were, the kingdom hath been taken from us. But we'll talk just like Saul. No, the kingdom is still here. I'm still with the Lord, you know. But the kingdom is obeying the king in relationship to the cross. Because look at the put off and all that. Every bit of that that we read and much more. What is it in relationship to? Be honest. It's in relationship to the cross. Come on, just look at it. I didn't make that up. It is. Every ounce of it is. You can run from the cross, but it's still the truth. And not only that, but do we want to run from the cross in an attempt to keep Agag alive? Is that really what we want? This is what I want. I want to keep Agag alive. I want to displease God and make him unhappy. And I want the kingdom ripped out from under me. Is that really? Does anybody really want that? That would be stupid if you wanted that. Mike, don't look at me like that. I'm teasing, Mike. All right. So what does it mean to obey the word of the Lord? In this case, it means to immediately stop letting Agag live. That's, isn't it? Wasn't that the issue here? Yes. Okay. Not only that, but to obey the Lord means to do what Samuel did, not Saul. Hew him in pieces. Take the cross that you know already happened 2,000 years ago and apply it. Get out of my head. Get out of my emotions. Get out. I want the Lord. I want the kingdom of God ruling in here.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. What does it mean to disobey? Well, it means to continue to let Agag influence you. You go, but he's not so bad, really. I mean, he's really cheerful. You know? I mean, sure, you know, he makes me think about how messed up everybody else is and that it's their fault and not mine. But that comforts me. You know, it's not the Lord's rod and staff that comforts you. A rod is used to swat the sheep when they need it. Staff is used to grab them with a hook and pull them when they're going off in the wrong direction. There's your comfort. Get you back to the shepherd who is the example to all the sheep because he gives his life for the sheep. He leads them into the reality that's going to make them something. Instead of this really cheerful Agag, this guy who sort of shows that bitterness and death are really, that's past. Let's not talk about things that are bitter to us, like the cross and, you know, and death. Surely that's past. Samuel goes, surely it's not, buddy. Whack, whack, whack. And then to disobey means that you are still in the kingdom and fine with God, and that you are an obedient child of the kingdom. Remember what I talked about? One of the scriptures we read, this is the way of the sons of disobedience. You're in the family, you're saved, in other words, but you're not in the kingdom. All right, so here's what I wrote down. I would like this to be our confession one to another. That we just, when we have sharing times or when you're with somebody, a brother or sister in the church, that you would say, I'm using an example because it was in the afternoon when this happened to me. So this afternoon, I hewed Agag to pieces before the Lord. That being the testimony. You stand up and say, you know what? This morning, I hewed Agag to pieces before the Lord. Does that sound good? And I would like us to encourage others with, when they're in that world, I want you to go ahead and stick your head through that little wall and say, "Hew Agag to pieces." Okay? Now, I'm asking you who still put up with Agag not to react against someone who's trying to help you. And I'm asking you who do this to do it in the spirit of the Lord, to save, as it were, a brother or sister, not some sort of religious self-righteousness as if you're good and they're not. That's wrong. You're going to ruin all of this, and people will never proceed further from what the Lord set this, you know, forth today to help us get over it so that we can maintain the breakthroughs that we had. See? And this is knowing this, isn't it? To do this would be a knowing of this and an applying of this. But if we become self-righteous towards one another and we see somebody and we don't look at them like, hey, man, you know, I want to help them. I want to stand for my brother or sister. I love them. And if everyone here could be assured that that's the way it would be given, then maybe people wouldn't react if somebody said to you, "You Agag to pieces," and you'd go, "Thank God, yes." You know? Instead of going, "No, I want to leave him alive. You're mean, he's cheerful." All right. So, it's up to the Spirit of the Lord to impart the true spirit of this. But I believe, and I honestly believe this, that in years to come, we could be standing ground for one another.
Right.
We could be standing ground for one another and helping one another just by saying that. I mean, when the Lord spoke what he did to me, I remember, you know, dealing with it and it being gone, and I'm back on track with the Lord like that. And I remember wanting to say to somebody, I wanted to say it out loud, and I didn't because the Lord said, if this helps you, it can help somebody else. But I wanted to stand like with a sword, literal sword in my hand, my legs spread, and, you know, and just say, this afternoon, I hewed Agag to pieces before the Lord. Oh, man, because it just felt right, and it felt of the Spirit, and it felt, it worked. How about that?
Yeah,
it worked. And I just wanted people to know, I got that sucker. I took the sword of the Spirit to that guy. And I went at him instead of being under him. And oh, he's a king. I have to bow to him and all this stuff. Give me that sword. Get out of my way. And applying the truth of what's already settled at Calvary. Making it real. Making it daily. Making it practical. Making it powerful, making it helpful to one another, strengthening one another, the army of God standing together.
Yes.
You know? Glory to God. All right. I don't know where you've been or whatever, but I know that you will eventually be in a place like what we're talking about. All of us go there, you know what I mean? So instead of just having an altar call, I'm going to just ask you to stand with me if you would. We're going to pray. But before we pray, I want to just ask you, is there anyone that this felt like the Spirit of God was dealing with you talking about? Raise your hand. Praise God. Amen. Okay. Then we're all on the same page. Let's pray. Father, just as an under-shepherd and Lord, that a man that is ignorant in so many ways, and yet you've made me a shepherd to protect your sheep, I ask you, cover these people, not just with some invisible blanket, but with the reality and the strength and might of the Word of God, to gird them with it, Lord, and Lord, that the reality of these things would not fade because we make a commitment in our heart to knowing that the old man is dead. Knowing this, that the old man is dead. And that's something, Jesus, you did at Calvary. So we also make the commitment of the follow-up scriptures on all those areas that we looked at. The ones where you say, put to death. The ones where you say, put off the old man. When you did all of that at Calvary. We want it to be real. We want to be able to apply that. And we want it to work. And we want it not just for ourselves, but the one that's on our right and on our left, the ones that are around us here, the ones that are on Skype, the ones that will listen to this later. And so, Lord, we ask you to loose our tongue to say these things, Lord, to stand up and declare. On Thursday, I hewed Agag to pieces before the Lord, to say that and watch the power of that just be like electricity to go through the body. Or Father, to see our brother or sister hurting and under attack from this foreign king that's trying to take back the ground. And Father, that we just go and say, hey, you've got power. We don't have to say all of this, but we're saying it with those simple words, hew Agag to pieces. We're saying, hey, we've got power against this. We are not, we do not have to bow to this king. We do not have to stay under his control and leave him alive for days or weeks until it runs its course. We can hew him to pieces before the Lord right now. And it'll please the Lord because he's the one who told us to put to death Agag and all that is of him. Father, I pray from the deepest part of my heart for your people, Lord, that you will support them and help them and build them up and use these things, Lord, that they not just be a passing sermon, but they will be truly the word of the Lord that they can utilize, and it will strengthen them and help them in the reality that they already have, the things they already know, but it'll help them to apply them. So bless this body, this group that is your body. Bless this bride. Bring them forward. Bring them on. Bless this church. Bless this temple that is your body. And may we more and more and more and more and more be conformed to that image, which is Jesus, your Son. And may we never think that we're just in this on our own, but that we need to be standing in the gap for one another. So thank you, Father. Thank you for their tender hearts. Thank you for their desire. Anytime they know that it's you, they always move towards you. They want to get to you. They want to throw their arms around you. They want to melt into you. So bless them, Father. Bless them. May this word continue, this knowing continue. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're dismissed.